Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com. Website creation is hard. Was hard, but not anymore, thanks to WonderSuite from Bluehost. Answer a few questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically create your website or store. From there, you can customize your design, colors, and content, and we automatically help you get found in search engines like Google and Bing. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins, Bluehost makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Go to Bluehost.com/WonderSuite.
Andy, Barney, Opie, Goober, Floyd the Barber. That's some of the names from The Andy Griffith Show. Drop by Two Chairs No Waiting, The Andy Griffith Show fan podcast, and we'll visit with some of those folks, along with tribute artists and fans, and just all kinds of things related to The Andy Griffith Show. I'm your host, Alan Newsom, and you can find the show, Two Chairs No Waiting, at twochairsnowaiting.com or on iTunes.
Howdy, partners. You're listening to Conversations with Jacob, hosted by my good friend, Jacob Waller. Make sure to check out the podcast where podcasts are available, and check out the video version on YouTube. You can follow us on social media. Facebook is Conversations with Jacob. Twitter is at CWJ Podcast. And you can visit our website, conversationswithjacobpodcast.weebly.com. Hey, you got a show idea? Maybe a guest suggestion? Email us at conversationswithjacob@gmail.com. Now, here's your host, Jacob Waller.
And what's going on, everybody? And welcome back to Conversations with Jacob. And a big thanks to Jake Thorne for the intro. Before I get started this week, I want to do a few announcements. Before I jump into our guest this week, check out Two Chairs No Waiting, a host about Adam Newsom, who appeared here on this podcast, episode number 53, I think it was. Check it out, twochairsnowaiting.com, and on YouTube, and as well on iTunes, I think it was. Check out our website, Conversations with Jacob, podcast.weebly.com, upcoming events, past guests, and we also added a new section on the website to about every guest that we've had that has had books out. Their book is on the website. All you got to do is click on the picture, and it'll take you to the Amazon site or their website. Upcoming events, and if you like cool cars and cool vehicles, check out the Rocky Mount Virginia Cruisin'. And as of this episode, Aaron, the first one's already been done. The next one is May 4th, 2024. The locations are the Franklin County High School, the Lowe's parking lot, the Rocky Mountain Smokehouse, as well as the parking lot of Shules. Also, April 20th, if you're in Stuart, Virginia, check out the Blue Ridge Jeep Fest, which I don't know the location of that, which I should have written it down, but I don't have the location. It's best you look it up on Facebook and find out more information about that. Joining me today is Tom Moore, who's the author of 6 books. And today we're going to talk about probably about everything there is to talk about. So, Tom, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Jacob. And I'll add the guy that does the John Wayne voice. We in my film distribution company, we've got 25 John Wayne movies and serials dating all the way back to the 1930s. So,
oh wow,
now he's a good seller for us.
Now, for people who don't know nothing about you, can you give us a little description?
Okay. As you mentioned earlier, I'm the author of 6 books. 7th, I'm on my last chapter, and hopefully it'll be out later this year. I was voted best self-help author for 3 years in a row by the readers of a health magazine. And I'm the CEO of an international film and TV program distribution company. Been doing that for a long time. And so that's kind of my basic interests at the present time. We can go further if you want.
All right. Now, I got a lot of categories to pick from for this episode. So let's jump right into the first one, and let's talk about guardian angels. Do we all get a guardian angel?
Everyone has a guardian angel. Now, that's how we know them. That's the name that we call them. In actuality, they're called golden light beings. And the reason is they're whole souls, but they're so ancient that they've raised their vibrational level to the point where they glow a golden light and are very powerful beings. They take care of several hundred thousand of us all at the same time in all of our lives on Earth and all of the 12 parallel lives that each one of us has. So they're really busy guys. As my guardian angel Theo, I named him Theo because I asked him what his name was, and he said Tom. He said humans can't pronounce angelic names, so you can call me Tom, Dick, or Harris, Tom or Harry, but Tom would be a little difficult in your meditations. So I thought about it a couple of weeks, and Theo popped into my mind, so that's what I call him, Theo.
Now, and how can we, communicate with our guardian angels?
Sure. Let me kind of take you back a little bit, okay? I was reading a story in the Sedona Journal of Emergence. Let's see if I get that in the screen correctly.
Yeah, there we go, yeah.
Okay, like this one. Okay. And one day, and there was a channeled article by a man by the name of Robert Shapiro, and he was channeling a creator being that's sort of like an understudy, if you want to call it, for our creator. His name is Zosh. And Zosh said during the article, he said, you can request benevolent outcomes in your life. And that just kind of rang a bell with me. I didn't realize why at the time, but it did. And because I've been trying all sorts of modalities. As an example, the law of attraction. Law of attraction works a little bit, but most of the time it doesn't work. And so I kept looking for something that would actually work for me. And so I decided to start experimenting with benevolent outcomes. And I found that they worked perfectly. I mean, I've never been able to say that for anything before. Now, I requested them starting out for mundane things, like I request the most benevolent outcome for my drive to the grocery store or to the post office or things, easy things like that. And so it grew as my confidence in the ability to that they did work, I started expanding it to much more important things in my life. So that's how it kind of started. And so I believe you asked before I got off track or went back sort of a little bit to the beginning that what you do for anyone that already meditates, once you put yourself into a light alternate state, you just simply say, I want to speak to my guardian angel. And you'll hear what's called a thought packet will come into your mind. And in my case, the very first time that I communicated with anyone was at a Dick Sutphin seminar in Sedona, Arizona in 2005. and he was putting us under. It was a seminar to increase your psychic abilities. And so on the second day, he was putting us under, and we were going to do automatic writing. And so I thought, well, instead of doing that, I'm going to see if I can connect with this shaman that Robert Shapiro had actually personally channeled for me by the name of Reveals the Mysteries. And he was a shaman living in the 1600s. And Reveals the Mysteries, I thought maybe my sole contract was to support Robert's work. And he said no. And I thought, well, that's strange. So finally, in Sedona, when he put us under, I said, Reveals the Mysteries, are you there? And he says, yes, I am, Tom. I said, wow, that's fantastic. You know. And so he went on to tell me that I was to reintroduce people to the gentle way. And he gave me the name of my first book, the very first time I ever communicated with it. And he also went on to say, Tom, he said, you're going to write books. And I said, no, I'm a business guy. I expected to stay in international film distribution till I retired. And he said, no, books. I mean, that's strong. And so I said, okay. So I wrote my first book, which is the Gentle Way One. There's four of these. And I wrote it in about 90 or 100 days or so. And but when I put together my website, which was www.thegentlewaybook.com, I thought that was the last book I'd ever be able to write. Little did I know that I'm almost seven books since that time. So you never know when you get on a road where it's going to take you. And it's taken me a really long way. It's been an interesting journey.
Now, when people read your book, what do you think that they can take away from it?
Well, the biggest thing that they can take away from it is that we all are able to communicate with these guardian angels, or for that matter, any being in the universe virtually that you want to talk to, and they'll respond. I mean, as an example, I've talked to the soul of the sun, every planet, every moon is ensouled in this whole universe, and every single being in this whole universe is ensouled. So I communicate all the time with Gaia. In fact, this latest book that I'm about to finish are all my conversations with Gaia, where I've asked thousands of questions. In my meditative sessions, I've asked over 30,000 questions so far. And these don't come from me. 95% of them come from people all over the world. And I'm told I'm the only human on earth that accepts these questions from anyone on earth to ask in my meditative states. And then I put them in a free weekly newsletter. In my personal case, I don't believe in charging for them. It's my gift to the world. So.
Now, do you think that angels and ETs are kind of the same thing, or do you think they're total different beings?
Totally different. Yeah. We're protected. Okay, Earth is in what's known as the Earth experiment, and which we can get into if you want to. But we're protected. There are 20,000 planets in what's called the Federation of Planets, And that's just our federation in the Milky Way galaxy. There's another two federations that are not as large as ours. And then there's even groups of 5 or 10 planets. And I'm just talking about the Milky Way only, that band together for trade and what have you. So we've got a lot of fantastic exploration ahead of us in the coming years, because we will not be learn how to travel to the stars until about 3250.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Everyone puts these figures at 2250 or, you know, but we won't learn how to portal hop, which is how all these ETs get to Earth. We won't learn how to portal hop until about 3250. And I know my next life on Earth will be in the 3400 era, where I'll be a female space pilot on one of 17 Earth starships.
So do we all get a next life? Everybody get a next life? And it's something kind of different from what we're doing now.
Yes, it is. And bye. Hold on. Huh? Oh, I forgot to give her the key. Darn, sorry. My mistake. Okay, so where was I?
I was asked you about how our next life, if we live another life than the one that we're living now.
Okay, so all of us, I should say everyone generally, will have somewhere between 600 and 800 lives on Earth. Uh-huh. All of those lives are all going on at the same time, okay? But we look at them as one life after another. So as an example, after the life in the 3400 era, I'll have one back in the 2600 era to prepare people to go to the stars, whatever that means, don't know. Then I'll be back in the 3400 era for the next life after that, but I'll stay on Earth the whole time. So, and then I've got lives after that that actually go back in the past. Now, my wife, who just came in a minute ago, her next life is going to be back in ancient Egypt about 12,500 years ago. And she's going to be a pharaoh. And this was like a setup life for her to get to trust me, because I've already had a life at that same time, and I'm going to be her advisor. I'm going to be a male in that life, and I'm going to be an advisor to the pharaoh. And some people say, well, but we don't have any records of pharaohs. There are records, but they are kept from the public because of religious beliefs. So there are records that go back about that far, but they can't be shown, because it would.
So are you saying that that in our next life that we can go sometimes go ahead and sometimes go back?
Exactly, right. So it all depends on what your learning needs to be. The reason that she's going to have that next life way back in ancient Egypt as a pharaoh, with a smaller kind of group of people, is that I know in another life after that, she's going to be Haile Selassie, the emperor of Ethiopia, and I'm going to be Queen Menen, who has 10 children in that life. I don't look forward to that. But anyway, only three of which outlived her. So it all depends. I was on George Nouri's Coast to Coast recently, and George is getting to know me a little bit this time, because in the future he's going to be the leader of two smaller countries, and then he's going to be the president of the United States after that, and I'm going to be his advisor. So these are all kind of setup lives. You meet somebody in this life, and suddenly you're in another life with them.
Yeah, that's amazing. Can you, was I seen, I think it was your website, or it might have been on Coast to Coast, because that's where I found you at, you know, strangely enough. But you got a book called Conversations with an ET.
Right.
Can you tell us about that book?
Okay, sure. In 2008, I was having a conversation with Theo about some ruins on the other side of the world. And he said, you know, Tom, he said, you're going to get to visit there someday. And I said, oh, yeah. And he said, yeah, an ET is going to take you. And he said, he's listening in on the conversation. Would you like to talk to him? And I was absolutely shocked, because I thought I was having a private conversation with my own guardian angel. And here I was, you know, somebody was tuning in. It was what they used to call in the old days, a party line.
Yeah.
And so I said, no, let me think of some questions, and I'll come back in a couple of weeks. Well, now what I do when I'm getting ready for one of my meditation sessions is that I'll have a whole list of questions that people send in to me. In this case, I had a whole page full of questions just for who I would learn. His name is Antura. And Antura, and I was also shocked to learn that I thought he would look like, you know, like us, because I'd heard First Contacts, they won't want to scare us too much. The Pleiadians look very close to us, except for maybe pointed ears. And so I thought that would be kind of what he'd look like. But it turned out he's an amphibian. He's from my home planet, which is a water planet called Nomo in the Sirius B solar system. There's about 25 inhabited planets there. And he's also a member, excuse me, of my soul group, or soul cluster, they're called. When our souls volunteered for what's called the Earth Experiment, where we said we would see how we could do with the four negative energies that the rest of our universe and the trillions of other universes are created in 10 positive energies, our creator wanted to see if the four negative energies could be worked with. And so our souls volunteered, and each of our souls split off on average 6 to 12 fragments of themselves to have these 600 to 800 lives on Earth each with a different soul interest. So as an example, Antura's soul interest, and he's had 800 lives on Earth so far. His soul interest is exploration and laying out towns and villages from their very beginning. So he was, as an example, Sacagawea, who led the Lewis and Clark expedition, and he was Marco Polo's uncle, who traveled the Silk Road before Marco Polo ever did. So Antura is like joined with the hip at the hip with me, because we're both fragments of the same soul. At the same time, our souls can be having 500,000 to over a million lives all across the universe for their learning.
Wow.
So, and then you get into, you you think that's a lot, but as an example, in my book, The Gentle Way with Pets, Dog Soul, ensouls every single dog on Earth, not only on our timeline six, but all the other timeline, all the other 11 timelines. So, and then Cat Soul ensouls every single cat, domesticated cat and feral cat on all the timelines. And I said, well, what about the tigers and lions? Well, there are other feline souls that take care of that. Cat Soul said, we'd like to spread the work. So that's, so Antura has I've been asking him hundreds and thousands of questions ever since we first got together. He was under the same rules that Theo and Gaia and everybody, I have to ask specific questions. I can't say, Antura, what do you look like? And he gives me a full description. I had to go inch by inch almost on what he looked like. And even after all the questions I asked, I discovered a couple of years ago, I had forgotten to ask if he had a tail. And he has a little sort of triangular tail. And I never thought to ask that question before.
Now, and what is the MBO? What is the MBO?
I mean, how does it or what? But okay, before we get off this subject, just before the book, Conversations with an ET. I don't know if I have that one or not. Here. There it goes. Okay.
Oh, you're there. Yeah. First contact.
Before I sent the manuscript to my publisher in 2013, he started doing little hints and he, you know, that, you know, because I'd ask him, I said, you mean I'm going to get to travel with you and see those ruins? Yes, Tom, you will. Can I take some pictures? Oh, yeah, yes, you can, Tom. And he kept trying to leave. Well, finally, I mean, it was like he almost had to hit me over the head with a 2x4. He said, Tom, in the future, you and your family are going to come to our mothership, which their mothership, his mothership, is 50 miles above us, 3 miles wide, 20 stories tall, crew of 900, plus their families, totaling 1,500 from 37 different planets. And they're taking these millions of readings each day as part of the Earth experiment. And he said, you and your family are going to be here for 14 days and you're going to shoot documentaries. And I mean, that was beyond my imagination. You have to understand, I mean, nobody's ever done this. So why would I think I would be, you know, the one that would be going to a ship? But it's because I've been in international film and TV distribution. I've executive produced some super low budget movies and TV shows. So I learned all this stuff from the ground up, because when I started in the business, I knew absolutely nothing. So anyway, that's the story. Supposedly, this is going to come up pretty soon. We'll see. I'm not holding my breath, because he says it all depends on when a majority of people believe that there are really intelligent species of people in the universe, because we don't want to scare everybody to the point where they run for the hills and get out their their rifles and shotguns and think this is going to be another Independence Day.
Absolutely. Now,
go ahead.
Okay. Can you tell us what the MBO is and what it can do for you?
Sure. Okay. As we were kind of just getting on the subject, I would say I request a most benevolent outcome. So abbreviated MBO. Some people have a hard time in saying benevolent. Okay. That word was not very much used when I started using it back in 2005. A lot more people use the word benevolent now than they did then. It's sort of like the 100th monkey syndrome, whatever it's called. But if you say, I request an MBO for ... thank you. They know what you're talking about. So when you request a most benevolent outcome, you're requesting a benevolent outcome for what you're asking for, and you're releasing it. Okay, that's very important. You release it. Now, everyone is on a soul path. Okay, that's that soul contract. There we go. Hard to do on camera. And so you're on a soul path. Imagine it's like a football field. And if your request is within the lines of that football field, then you're going to get your request. But if it's outside the boundaries, so as an example, I request the most benevolent outcome to win the lottery. Okay, the lottery is a soul contract item. It's like lotteries and inheritance and making it big in the stock market. All these are sudden wealth type soul contracts, and it's for people to learn how to handle sudden wealth, just as how people have to learn how to handle poverty. So these are things that you learn. So when you request these, especially when you first start out, I always recommend that you request these mundane things like the driving requests or getting a seat on a bus or a train or things that you can get immediate feedback on. And that way it proves that it's working for you. Because when you start requesting, I mean, you can request MBOs for the perfect mate or the perfect house or home or the perfect job. Now, obviously, these are larger requests and they don't just happen the next day. You know, I've had ladies email me and say, Tom, I've been requesting the perfect mate for 30 days and nothing's happened yet. So, you know, the wheels start going in motion, but that perfect mate may be in a relationship that has to end. Or maybe you need a relationship just before that relationship to prepare you for that perfect relationship. So there are things that have to go on as part of these benevolent requests.
How now can the MBOs be used in like a dangerous situation?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I've had emails sent to me. One lady sent to me an email and she said that her daughter was walking along a town street in California and a van with some guys in it started following her. And so she requested a benevolent outcome for her safety. And just then a group of people came out of a house and so they drove off. And she said, I know that MBO kept her safe. I had another lady in Kansas and she had moved to a farm, hadn't been too long before when she moved there with her family. And suddenly there was a tornado headed her way. And excuse me. And so she requested a benevolent outcome for their safety as they ran for the basement of the farmhouse, and the tornado lifted up and went right over their house.
Wow.
And I've had even a personal occasion where we had a funnel cloud that was coming up from the southwest. We live in Plano, Texas, and it was coming up from the southwest, and this funnel cloud, it wasn't on the ground yet, but it was rotating, and they started calling out the streets, and the streets were getting really close to us. I mean, really close. And both my wife and I requested MBOs for the safety of our house and ourselves, all the houses around us. And within 2 minutes, the thing completely dissipated and went by us. So we're very powerful when we request these things. So just keep that in mind. Now, it has to be benevolent for everyone in the request. So if you say, if a soldier says, I request the most benevolent outcome to kill my enemy before he kills me, it's not going to work. But if he says, I request benevolent outcome for my safety on patrol, then what happens is that his, quote, enemy goes off to have lunch or takes a break or is called for a meeting or whatever, and he comes back safe and sound from his patrol.
So do people kind of take advantage of this, or do they know the limits?
Well, again, you can request benevolent outcomes all you want. If there'll be some things. I mean, when you request benevolent outcomes, if it's a challenge that's part of your soul contract, as an example, because we're in international film distribution, I licensed a bunch of classic Spanish films that were supposed to all be in the public domain to a Spanish broadcaster, or not a local channel, but a national channel that was located here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And as part of it, in the contract, it stated that they had to check. First of all, we didn't have the ability to look at these. These were all on tape, and we didn't have the ability to look and see after the titles who the director and the stars were that you need to do a copyright search. So I said, in the contract, you have to do a copyright search, and you also have to check to see if these films are showable on TV, because I knew some of them were R-rated. So they, you know, we sent the 200 films over to them, and then they started playing some of them. And I called him up and I said, you know, did you do your copyright search? Oh, no, we'll just take them off the air if somebody complains. Well, the complaint was a $5 million suit against them by the producers in Mexico, a $1 million suit against me personally and my company here, and a $1 million suit against another supplier, another distributor in Houston. So I started requesting benevolent outcomes. Long story short, we had a meeting down in Houston to see if we could settle. And and my attorney down there said, now, Tom, you understand, we're probably going to have to pay some money here. And I said, we'll see. And so as it turned out, the company, the channel paid, I think, $500,000, the distributor in Houston, $100,000, and we paid zero.
Wow. So
challenges, you still have to go through the challenges, but a lot of times the challenges, instead of being a brick wall become a big speed bump.
Now, have you received any predictions for 2024?
A lot. You want to hit on them or? Let me start with the one of the biggest ones.
Okay? All right, go ahead. Yeah,
I can remember because I can't always remember. I get so much in these meditations. One of the biggest events of the whole year is going to be the total solar eclipse on April the 8th. Now, when I ask about this, and I've also written an article for the Sedona Journal of Emergence magazine that will be in their March issue, that'll come out somewhere around the 20th of March. I was asking, well, you know, what is it going to do? Because, you know, I thought, like anybody, well, this could be not too good a deal. But I was told that this will be one of the most benevolent events of the whole year, that it's going to rewire everyone. The total solar eclipse is going to start. Okay.
All right, there it is right there. Yeah.
If I can hold it where everyone can see it. It starts all the way down in Mexico, comes across Texas at Eagles Pass, up through Austin, Dallas-Fort Worth, Texarkana, Little Rock, Arkansas, all the way up through the Ohio Valley and all the way up Cleveland, Buffalo, and Syracuse. Now that solar eclipse is going to rewire us. We're going to become more benevolent and more sympathetic to other people. And it doesn't matter if you're right underneath it, which is great. I know there are millions of people that are actually already reserving hotel rooms, motel, campgrounds, you name it, for that April 8th date. And but even if you're hundreds or even thousands of miles away, it's going to affect you. Well, if you notice how it goes right past several conservative states, it's going to be interesting to see what that does.
Now, do you get any predictions for the election coming up in November?
Well, okay, now, this is what I've been told, all right. That because it's really kind of murky waters, back and forth and whatever. But there were news reports earlier in January talking about how Mr. Trump didn't look too good. He looked tired, beat, whatever. And of course, he comes back in the next few days and says, I feel like I'm 35 years old, you know. Okay. But I'm told that he's going to have heart problems later this year. And I said, well, but why, you know, because I was also told that Mr. Biden would win the election. I said, well, but Mr. Biden said that he would probably withdraw if Mr. Trump did not run. And I was told that by the time this happens, it will be too late for him to withdraw, and so he'll stay in. And that's what I'm told. Take it or leave it.
Absolutely, yeah. Is there any other more predictions that you've been told?
Well, yeah, you got a list of them. You want to hit me with them or?
I just wrote down a few of them. Has there any prediction that kind of stands out, or one that we should be concerned about?
Well, I'm still concerned about wars, but I haven't gotten enough into that. Another benevolent thing that's supposed to happen maybe in the first quarter of this year, and I've been talking about this for over 3 years in my free weekly newsletters, is that there's going to be the plans for a free energy machine that will be fairly simple to assemble, and the plans are going to be put out without a patent. And it's another like gift to the world, supposedly done by some big benevolent organization. And I was told in late December that they were actually finally discussing when they're going to release this information. And so we're just kind of waiting around, but that will be a game changer for the whole world. Keep in mind, there's been other people that have invented free energy machines, but then they're bought up for $1 million or $2 million or whatever by people associated with oil companies and what have you, and they're buried. So this one will be put out without any patent, and you will see even a small village, let's say in Africa, okay, that doesn't have any power whatsoever. Suddenly they'll have power for the whole village, and suddenly they'll have power for cell phones or laptops or whatever that people will start being educated. It's going to be a tremendous game changer for the whole world.
Do you think eventually, which may not happen this year, but maybe, you know, maybe later on, that these restaurants will be replaced with robots?
Well, quite a bit of the stuff is being done AI. I think it'll, you know, just take time. I mean, look at people, some of the grocery chains are having to kind of go back to, instead of just self-checkouts, having people actually check people out, because people didn't like that. Now, whether that will change as the older people die out and the younger people are more used to self-checkout, I don't know. But that's, you know, it's like one step forward, maybe a step back.
And do you think eventually that AI is going to take over?
Well, you know, I've been asked about AI because obviously the readers of my weekly newsletter have been concerned about it. And I'm, excuse me, I'm told that Gaia says that this is one of the greatest inventions of the 21st century. And she said, Tom, remember, you've been told before, back in around 2017, 2018, that in 2117, 2118, you'll look back at this time period and it will look like what we look back at 1917 and 1918, that huge a difference between in a 100-year period of time.
Now, at the end of every episode here on the podcast, I like to ask the guests if they got a closing thought. So do you got a closing thought?
Oh, excuse me. Well, I'd like for everyone to at least experiment with requesting benevolent outcomes. You have to say them out loud, okay? They can't be, you can't just think it, okay? It has to be said out loud. And for other people and beings, you say a benevolent prayer, which is, I ask any and all beings to blank, 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 thank you. But everything is said out loud, and that's because the scientists in the future are going to discover or rediscover the power of the verbal voice. And when you say these out loud, it goes right to source, whatever you want to call it, and it really does something. So keep in mind, go to my website, www.thegentlewaybook.com. Read the sample chapters of the Gentle Way books. So they have lots of suggestions. And I have a blog I've been doing for years that has nothing but MBO and BP stories that have been sent to me from my readers all over the world of their success in using, in requesting these benevolent outcomes. So there's hundreds and hundreds of those stories. So check it out. You'll just experiment with it. It'll change your life.
All right, Tom, well, I want to thank you for coming on the podcast to talk about your books and guardian angels and predictions. Of course, I had a good time, and I hope the viewers will enjoy listening to this.
Hope they do. Thank you.
Of course, you're welcome. And that wraps up on this episode of Conversations with Jacob. Tune in next week for another episode. Until then, and we'll catch you in the next one.